The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl, Linda, Bot. Linda, it's Tuesday, and it's on assignment this morning. I had to get her up and get her off assignment this morning and get me into here because, but I'll tell you the story in a minute. 7:06 in the morning here. Good morning, Bad Bob. 6th of October. 6th
you were
of July.
Subjected to the alien
Oh,
probe.
My God. Yesterday, I don't even, you know what? I finally, you know what? You people that are on drugs, you know what? I just... Anyway, it's now 7 after 7 here. It's at KCNR 1460, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. What's it look like for weather today?
Partly cloudy skies at a high near 85 degrees. That'll continue tonight with a low of 60. Clouds and sunshine tomorrow with the high nudging the 90-degree mark, but it looks like we're all done with those triple digits. Increasing clouds on Wednesday.
Wait a minute. Cloud in the background. People cheering.
Increasing clouds on Wednesday, but our first chance of rain actually doesn't show up until the weekend. Right now in Reading, we are at 60 degrees. The report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
A veteran-owned business where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Veterans and seniors get discounts there, 365-3793. A lot of things going on. Strikeout, domestic violence, Bobathon on the 23rd of October. Give them a call at 225-5220. Now, that's the district attorney's office, and they will get you signed up for that. Get your team signed up for only $24, includes 2 hours of bowling and shoe rental. Then they expect you to raise a few bucks, though, for them. You know, we're gonna enter that. And we're going to go out and we'll just raise money for this. This is a good idea. American Legion Auxiliary Parking Lot Sale and Valencio Street in Shasta Lake will be this Saturday, October 10th. And you can rent tables there. But, it's, you know, this is a giant, giant parking lot sale. Lunch is going to be available there that you get to buy. So give somebody a call over there at Patty or Judy, 245-0360. There. Okay, veterans. California Waterfowl Veterans Hunt Program is on. This is really a great deal. Okay, I know a lot of veterans are listening here. On October 31st and November 1st, the refuge there at Tule Lake National Wildlife Refuge, if you have not been there, you cannot even begin to understand how many birds are up there. They've granted access to the hunt area, which closes at 1 p.m. every day, but the lucky hunters will have a refuge all to themselves on this special afternoon. Hunt's fully guided, includes decoys, blinds, boats, lodging at Winnemah Lodge, and I've been there, and it's pretty cool. Food and drinks. Hunters will also hunt Sunday morning. Give Jeff Smith a call at 305-9234. You know what? Five Star Bank is putting this on, along with Shasta Land Services and Curbs Outfitters, and, of course, the U.S. Wildlife Reserve Office in California Waterfowl. But big thanks to a Five Star Bank and the Shasta Land Services and Curbs Outfitters for this. And this is for our this is for veterans, disabled or able. As long as you're a veteran, give them a call. All right. Now, we left yesterday, and here, let me tell you why. The VA, God bless them. I had my physical, my regular physical, and the doctor, you know, and same doctor, Dr. Templato. I love this guy. Had this guy. I've never had a doctor this long in my life. It's been 8 years, really, ever in my life. In the military, I mean, you get a different one each time. Yeah. And so Templato goes, when he's finished, he goes, "Well, okay, everything's fine." He says, "Do you have he says, "Is there anything?" And I said, "Well, I have this. Sometimes there's a twinge in my stomach." You know. And he goes, where? And I said, well, it moves around. And so I'm on my way. And, I mean, that's it. I mean, next thing I knew, I'm seeing a gastroenterologist.
His ears
then,
swivel forward.
And then,
yeah.
And then he said, well, you know, but here's what they're going to do. And then he, and then, so I go see them. And then, you know, so I'm, you know, I changed my diet. You know, I've cut out a lot of carbs, you know, bread and all that kind of stuff. And no twinges. But I then went through a CT scan, which they told me I was absolutely unremarkable, which is good. I told them, well, okay, I'd be that way. But then yesterday I went down and got that upper GI. I've never had one of those. Well, the upper GI is kind of like, you know, you go in there and they ask you all these questions about which, you know, what you're in there for, your name 26 times. And I kind of like thought it was going to be like, you know, when you get a colonoscopy, you know, they give you this stuff and, you know, like, you never know you're going through it, and you get up, and you can go out, and you can do nuclear testing.
Oh, no.
This one, when I got out, when I was finished, you know, everything's fine. And but I can't – I'm not functioning. I mean, I'm trying to walk out of the place, and Linda, I'm leaning on Linda. And I'm like, well, there's something wrong here. And I get in the car. I lose my wallet. For some reason, I take my wallet out, and I leave it in the floor of the car, and then I can't find that later. But then the rest of the day, she sets me down in a chair, and the next thing I know, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm just kind of like staring off at
it's a little disconcerting.
My gosh. I mean, how do people live like that? I mean, yeah, I guess there's people like that. But, you know what? I mean, after 3 o'clock, you know, then it's too late to do everything. So I've got – I mean, it's not too late, but everything you're trying to do – and I had no idea where my phone was, so she had to go find that, too. Anyway, but the bottom line on this thing is it's absolutely painless, and they can come in there and look at you and see if everything's okay. So,
I had to have my throat checked with the thing that goes in the nose, and it was like, you know, they do the anesthetic, but you're aware of what's going on.
I was aware of nothing.
Yeah.
The earth could have ended around me. And then after I woke up, I was like, oh yeah, I'm fine. You know, I get up, where's my shoes? Anyway, okay, enough about that personal stuff. Except the fact is, what I wanted to get at is that you're there and you're, it's just like you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know things are going on around you, but you don't really care. So, I mean, afterwards.
A question.
Yes.
Inside the belly of the beast that is known as VA health. Was this in the VA system?
This is right there at the VA, at the clinic.
So
right
you're viewing the belly, you're viewing the beast from the inside, so to speak.
Yeah.
Your impressions as to the current state, at least in Reading.
Well, this is just going from my side of it, is that I've always been treated well there. The one time there was it was a delay and seeing a doctor. One time it was a delay only because they get into the HIPAA thing. So I said, well, what does this mean about everybody? Which it meant nothing, but nobody would tell me what it meant.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see the doctor because they're too busy, and the nurse couldn't tell me because of HIPAA. So I went outside and looked it up on my iPhone, and they gave me the definition, which meant everything's fine. So I'm like, well, that's kind of silly, but when I looked at it overall, here they thought they did not leave any stone unturned to make sure I was okay. That's what I mean. I went through all these tests just to make sure I was okay. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Now, there'll be people telling you, oh, I've got to wait for so long, and they're short of dogs, but the guy that did that worked on me comes in once a month for a week from Seattle.
Mm.
And he comes in and he works. He does all of these. You know, he was in there doing these. He was doing colonoscopies. He was doing all of those things. And they bring him in. Like I said, he's a doctor, a fine doctor, I hope. You know, from there. But he's very knowledgeable. He's got a great bedside manner. You know, what can I say? And like I said, I've had the same doctor. They just sent me another little notice that said, hey, come on, it's time to make an appointment again. You know, all those kind of things. So I have no complaints about it. I can't talk for everybody else, but I've talked to a lot of people that are very happy with the service. Now, notwithstanding that, they've got to spread the, they've got the clinic spread out in like two or three different places too, though, because it's too small.
Yeah.
This is why we need to put everything under one roof, and if it's out there on Knighton Road, that would be wonderful, but it doesn't make any difference. They've got to put all the stuff under one roof and expand the number of doctors and those available to help. And if it means contracting them in, because I've heard somebody say, oh, it's taken me, I can't get in there till December. And I said, well, that's under this new act that you can go and see a doctor. If it's over 30 days, you can get a doctor out in town to see you under the new VA act.
Mm-hmm.
I may be, if I'm wrong about that, I need somebody to tell me. But anyway, hey, we got to take a break. This portion of the show is about speaking of medical, Shasta Regional Medical Center, in the business for 70 years in the top 100 hospitals in the nation for 3 years in a row. And the top cardiac in the top 50 cardiac hospitals in the nation, right here at Shasta Regional. And we get back, I've got a story on Shasta Regional. They're opening up a new psychiatric unit. But the biggest stories I want to talk about when we get back, besides One Safe Place, which is another outstanding thing, Brown signs the right to die law. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? What do you think about Brown, a practicing Catholic that says it's okay to commit suicide? If you're terminally ill and they've got all these rules, a lot of people have fought it hard, and were surprised that that the governor signed it. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. 7:17 in the morning, 61 degrees out there.
Quick, erase it, write it, cut it, piece it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, zero, call it, fire it, one more time.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Momix is modern dance brought to a whole new level, and it's coming back to the Cascade Theater October 14th with a new show, Alchemia. Be transported to a fantasy world with spectacular dance, theater, illusion, riveting music, magical lighting, and fun with this wildly inventive modern dance troupe. Momix, October 14th at 7:30. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do, Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. I'm not sure what we're playing right here.
Ever since I could remember.
Oh, okay.
A little Imagine Dragons.
Imagine Dragons.
Great song.
7:21 in the morning here on October the 6th. 61 degrees out there. Going up to, is this the same as yesterday? About the same as yesterday? Or is it going up hotter today?
Let's see. It's supposed to be slightly warmer than yesterday, if I recall the... nearly the same as yesterday.
Okay, so we could say 61 degrees now, going up to 87. And it's going to be like it's going to start warming up a little bit over the start warming up toward the end of the week. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane here. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Redding Civic Auditorium. You know, you join the Civic Auditorium in Redding Civic Auditorium, and you get good deals on pricing for the shows that are coming through. You get better seating. You get a lot of different things on this when you join the Redding Civic Auditorium. And there are several membership levels. Find out more at reddingcivic.com or at the Civic Box office. Okay. This guy running for speaker, McCarthy, is that his name?
Kevin McCarthy.
Kevin, yes. McCarthy. What an idiot.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Can I just start
what,
off like that?
There's an idiot in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I know. But
hold my heart.
He's a special idiot. And let me tell you why. You know, he may be a great guy. He's out of, I guess they love him out of Silicon Valley, which means I would think he's smarter than this. He goes and he talks about Benghazi. And he says, if it wasn't for us doing the Benghazi report and the investigation, you know, we drove down Hillary's numbers. You know, he made it so political, which, you know, it may be partly political, of course, but just to find out about Benghazi, but he made it sound like it wasn't a, you know, it was, the whole thing was politically motivated. Did you read this?
I heard something about it. And it
oh, my
like,
God. I mean,
seriously,
even,
why feed the beast? Why,
and he did. So now what's Hillary saying? I told you, nothing, you know, Benghazi wasn't that bad. Look at the Republicans. They're just using it. You know, they built it up. It wasn't that bad. And he gave them and gave the media. You know, the media couldn't really refute things that are happening from there. You know, I mean, they could, but it was just kind of ridiculous. But then he gives them. He gives them the ammunition for it. Well, I tell you what, he wants to run for speaker, and he'll probably get it. But somebody does something that dumb, you know. I wonder about it. You know, Boehner crying all the time, but this guy, you know. And here's the other thing too: the Pacific Rim Trade Pact is now in place, and Obama says that it eliminates over 18,000 taxes on our products from our country, that it's going to on U.S. goods. It's going to set the labor standards. It's going to help labor. It's good for the American worker. American workers and the unions are saying it's not going to be good for us. It's going to be like every other trade pact we've done. You're going to see jobs just flow overseas into the Pacific Rim areas, and allows those countries to sue American companies. I mean, they couldn't do that before. Now they're saying, "Oh, now they can come in and they can get into our knickers here." Now it says it still has to pass Congress, a congressional, back in Congress again. Well, I would just like to know what Congress is going to do, since they've managed to screw up everything else they've touched. I mean, Republicans, good job. And for the most part, you know, and people go, well, you know, you shouldn't knock Republicans. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, yes, we need to knock Republicans if they're not doing a good job. Now, what are they going to do about this? You know, when have we ever had a trade pact that didn't cause jobs to go south, or in this case, it'll be going west?
Yeah. Well, when you say the letters TP, trade is not the first thing that comes to my mind, but it certainly, what are these people thinking about? I mean, we're just handing off the farm here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does smell like TP.
Yeah. It smells like a bilge. area in a boat. All right. Okay, hey, Shasta Regional Medical Center, for good news, going to open up a 20-bed psychiatric ward. It's voluntary basis. Medi-Cal, Medicare, and private insurance is accepted. And this is, they're going to make it for 55 and older. And again, it's for voluntary. Now, you can't get into it if you are a threat to yourself or others. And if you are younger than 55, they'll take a look at you getting in there. But they'd like to try and keep people about the same age group. But it's voluntary. So people are having problems. Maybe this is a way to help them get started and get going, moving on their other sides. You know, if you have some mental problems out there. And we see how many of them a day, Bob, walking around or at least laying out there. But if they can take 20 and Medi-Cal picks this up Medicaid picks this up, Shasta Regional at least is helping. And we heard about this. They've been working on it for 3 years, but now it's open. And, that is just absolutely outstanding. That it's that they've taken that step, because let's just face it. A lot of the problems we have around here is due to people with mental problems, mental illnesses.
And the police are not the ones who need to deal with these folks.
They don't belong in jail. They don't belong in emergency rooms. They belong someplace. But since we have no place to put them, what do? We put them back on the streets again, and then we go out and we arrest them again.
Yeah.
And some of them maybe have a drug problem. Some of them it's an alcohol problem. You know, we don't even have a sobering center here that we can take people that are on drugs or they're drunk, and you drop them off, in a place where they don't have to go to jail and they don't have to go to the hospital.
Yeah,
The
days of Otis letting himself into Sheriff Andy's drunk tank to sleep it off are long behind us, I guess.
Well, Mayberry is long behind us, I think.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Do you miss Mayberry? Do you miss being able to walk down that country town,
man,
and go and get your haircut with Howard? Howard did the haircuts.
Yeah.
And then you're in there.
Floyd the barber.
Floyd the barber, and then you Goober and Gomer.
Cottonwood, they're about the same thing.
I've never lived in a small. Well, I lived in a town. I lived in a farm area, and Stantonsburg was kind of like that. It was a small town, and that you could. It was in the South in North Carolina, but it was. Of course, there was a lot of different things going on back there then that you never saw in Mayberry. That's for sure. A big shout out to Shasta Regional Medical Center, and One Safe Place. It's open now. The new shelter is now taking on people that it can help, victims of domestic violence. 2,300 visits in 2014 and 15 so far this year. They were concerned about because letting people know where it is, where they could help people, but they also needed to have it so people could find it. Now, it's a beautiful facility. The money was raised for it. The people from One Safe Place have got a lot to be proud for. A big salute to Gene King and everybody that helps Sierra Pacific, McConnell, Wind River, all of these places, everybody helping, and a lot of other ways of helping for this, to help victims of domestic violence, because it's not just the woman or the man himself, but it's the kids. Think about that. It's the kids that they really help out too. So big shout out to everybody. And so that, it came, of course, to fruition because of a horrible incident several years ago where that woman came with her two kids and it was so crowded that she didn't feel comfortable. She could have stayed there, but she didn't feel comfortable enough. So she went back home and her husband killed her and the two little girls and then went over to the coast and took his life. If you remember that, it was just and that was the impetus to build this new facility where they have more room and be able to do more.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous building, and all the pictures I've seen of it. And big hats off to, Sierra Pacific for being so involved in the community.
Well, Sierra Pacific, Wind River has helped out. The whole community has. McConnell found it. The whole community has. Like this one right here, and we just talked about it, this Strikeout Domestic Violence, Bowl-a-thon. They can take, 23 groups or teams or something like this, or 40, I'm not sure. But all the money that they raise goes to One Safe Place, Striking Out Domestic Violence. All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We got coming back. How do you rescue a horse? We're going to help you with that when we get back. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Everyone wants to be a hero. It's part of our DNA. Join One Safe Place as we honor local heroes, survivors, coaches, law enforcement, tribal leaders, military, and parents. Be a Hero to Your Children is a One Safe Place benefit dinner to help support a community affected by family violence. With special keynote speaker, consultant to the NBA, MLB, NFL, educator and activist, TED Talks Tony Porter. Be a Hero to Your Children benefit dinner is on Thursday, October 22nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. To purchase your hosted table now before they're all gone, call One Safe Place at 244-0118, extension 206. Sponsored in part by Region 3 Safe Program and Shasta Regional Medical Center. And remember, not all heroes wear capes.
Redding's Electric Utility, REU, is celebrating 94 years and honoring Public Power Week October 4th through 10th. Redding is one of more than 2,000 communities that own, operate, and govern their electric utility. Public Power provides reliable, cost-competitive electricity to more than 48 million Americans. Did you know REU's low rates save Redding approximately $30 million annually? That money stays right here in our community. Celebrate REU and Public Power Week. Visit reupower.com. REU and you, powerful together.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
The desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Linda, it's on assignment this morning. 7:33 in the morning, 61 degrees, going up to 87 today. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Redding. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4, and has the best jewelry you're ever going to find right here in town. He can build rings for you. They can repair watches, any type of watch repair, because he's got the only trained watch repairman there. Batteries changed, but the main thing he has is just jewelry at really good prices, really good jewelry. And a honesty and an integrity that is just somebody you want to deal with there, Leonard and Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Redding. I'm here with Jerry Kohler from the Safe Haven Horse Rescue organization. And good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Yeah, well, we have to just turn on your mic here. Okay. Good morning again.
Good morning again.
Okay. Hey, tell me about Safe Haven Horse Rescue.
Well, Safe Haven is a an organization that cares for horses with special needs. We will have people who have a horse that they can no longer take care of, or that has some kind of a special problem, and they'll bring them to us, and we'll rehabilitate them and get them ready for a new home and move on from there. We it's been operating for about 20 years in Shasta County. Very successful nonprofit organization, 501c3
mm-hmm.
organization.
And you've got 40 horses out there?
We have 40 horses out there right now.
Where do you get them from?
They come from all over the place. We have sometimes elderly people can no longer care for their animals, so they will bring them out to us. Shasta County Animal Control will bring animals to us. Sometimes people just can't care for their horses anymore, and so they'll bring them to us. And
now, this is a lifetime deal for the horses, right?
Yes, it is. We're a rescue and a sanctuary, and so we'll bring horses in that need some kind of special care, and we'll take them to the vet. We'll have them checked out, made sure that they're okay. Some of them require some additional training or handling to make sure that they're safe for people to handle, and then we'll readopt them out or foster them out to an appropriate home.
Well, adopting a horse is not the same thing as adopting a puppy.
It is not. It is not. That's a fact.
Having owned horses a large part of my life and ridden them, I'm beyond the part where I think that they're mystical animals. Some people will tell you they
horses
are
very special.
Yeah, they're very special. Very special. Yeah. And the fact is, though, is that for somebody that if you're a family and you've got a little girl, 8 or 10 years old or whatever. And you want her to, you know, I want a horse, Daddy. I want a horse, Mommy. Is your place the one of the places to come to?
It absolutely is. You can come out to our place, and we have volunteers. Our organization is 100% volunteers. We have no paid employees at all. But we have some people who have 20, 30 years of experience handling horses. You can come out, and you can pick a horse that you like or that you think that is appropriate for your particular needs. And the volunteers that we have will take you and allow you to go into our arena with the horse and see if it's appropriate for you. And we will also make sure that the horse that you're selecting is appropriate for your particular needs as well. Like if you have a small child who has no experience with a horse, we're not going to give you some kind of a quarter horse that's normally used for herding cattle and that sort of thing. We want to make sure that the horse is safe and appropriate for you.
So if you've got tall horses for tall people and short horses for short people, and for people that have never ridden a horse, you've got horses that have never been ridden, right? No joke. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. But yes, we do.
Okay. So if I have my little kid can come out there, and I might be able to find a horse then from you.
You might. Yeah.
All right. So okay, now my child has fallen in love with your horse.
Correct.
Now what happens?
Then you can fill out a form, and it's an adoption form, and we'll do a background investigation on you to make sure that you have the proper facilities to manage a horse, that you have the money to take care of a horse.
Let's all make this one statement here, okay?
Okay.
What's the cheapest part about getting a horse?
Buying it.
That's right.
Yep.
It's like a boat.
Yep.
Boat.
Yep.
It's a hole in the water that you pour money into. Break out another $1,000 when it comes to boat. Now, if there's anything worse than that, it's horses. Or Harley. But a horse, you can take care of a horse. But it's one thing to take care of it well, to make sure it's well. It does need a lot of help. It's not insurmountable, and I was just kidding,
sure.
Mainly. But
yeah.
But it still takes room. It takes regular feeds. It takes veterinarian care. It takes farrier care.
Dental care. Right.
Everything.
It does. The important thing is when you first buy the horse is to make sure that it's a horse that doesn't have a lot of problems that you're not aware of. And so that's one of the advantages of coming to us is that all of our horses are checked out by a veterinarian, veterinarian in Cottonwood.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a significant expense involved in taking care of all of our horses. So
you will you will adopt out a horse that's sound, yes, unless they know that there's something there.
Correct.
But somebody may want to rescue a horse that's blind in one eye or right, maybe, you know.
And we call those companion horses.
Yeah, companion horses.
And so someone may have a horse on their ranch or their property, and you know, horses are social animals, and so
they're very social.
And so it's they'll like to have another companion horse for that. Well, we have the ideal horses for those because some of them can no longer be ridden on hard mountain trails. They can be ridden, but they're not you know, they're not jumpers anymore. They're a great companion horse. They may have a leg that's bad, or they may have maybe aged a little bit.
And, sure.
But they're,
but
they're,
you know,
a great companion
you can
horse.
Ride horses a lot longer than, you know, I used to think when I was young, you know, after, you know, 12 or 14. No, I know people that are out riding horses into their 20s, and those horses are, you know, they're very good horses. They're very solid horses. I mean, yep, you're not going to be racing up and down hills, right, but they're good, solid horses that you can ride on
right,
the trails.
And we have horses at our facility right now that are over 20 years old that we consider to be our best. Our best riders. We have people who come out who just want to do nothing but ride a horse.
Now, can you do that out there at your place?
Yeah, we don't encourage it, but, you know, if you come out and you want to spend a Saturday afternoon with your daughter or something, we have a lot of dads will come out there that are, you know, they get their daughter for the weekend, and they'll come out there and ride, and we allow that. We do allow that.
That's cool. So,
I learned how to ride on a gelding who was 25 and had a back about a yard wide.
Your feet are sticking straight out, right? Okay, yeah. I love horses, and I've ridden horses. I've participated in all types of athletic events with horses, anywhere from polo to endurance rides to tent pegging.
Yeah,
with the English, when you ride on your horse with a lance and you pull and with it. Instead of going after pigs, you go after these tent pegs, which was a lot of fun.
That's actually one of the reasons why I'm here today. Yeah. I want to promote our fall play.
You've got something coming up here.
We do.
And it's a fundraiser for your facility out there.
It's really not. It does raise money for us, but it's not very much money. It's primarily what we're trying to do is to provide a venue for people to come out and just have a fun day.
Oh, okay.
And it's we really don't make a lot of money on it. But it's it's this Saturday. It starts at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's in Cottonwood at the rodeo grounds in Cottonwood. And
no, keep talking. I'm just waving my hands at other people to close the door.
And it's a great opportunity for people to bring their kids out that they just want to have a fun day. It's a little bit competitive, but it's not as competitive as the major events. And it's for all ages and all levels of experience.
It's like a Gymkhana type thing.
It is exactly that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's exactly
okay,
that.
Okay, Gymkhana is where you have all different types of, you know, we used to do these a lot. And things like the hide pull. I don't know. Have you ever been involved with that where you take a tarp and you tie a rope to it and you tie the other, and then you pull somebody around the arena?
No. That sounds like a good one.
Oh,
to
no,
add,
it's good. No, it's fun. It's fun because you have a team. So you have somebody start and you've got your horse. And they jump on the tarp and they go. And so you race down the other end of the arena, and you have to make that turn.
Yeah.
Or you come, you know, because they have to go past the line. The one person jumps off, and the other person jumps on.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now,
sounds like
of course, when riding comes back kind of clean and laughing and all this, the people being drugged behind them on the tarp.
Yeah.
Because usually on the tarp, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
You're being drugged down the arena. But, no, that's just one of the things we used to do.
We have this year we're going to have what they call a ring around the sack race instead of, you know, where you ride around and you have to stop in front of a sack, and the one that doesn't get a sack gets kicked out.
So
we have a little, yeah, I know.
And then you mean but does everybody get a blue ribbon at the end?
Well,
no.
Yeah,
it's just the winner. Come on. This
winner,
is life.
Yeah.
This is real life here.
You get to keep the sack.
Jerry, how'd you get into this? I only got a couple minutes left. How do you get into this?
How did I get into it?
How'd you get into this?
You know, I was the accountant for Safe Haven Horse Rescue.
Okay.
And
how long has it been around?
Oh, 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah, Linda Richards started it 20 years ago. And she's no longer, well, she's indirectly still with the organization, but after 20 years, she needed a little time off, so she went out and she's in Corning right now with her new boyfriend, and they're having a great time, and so it just needed somebody to step up. And
she dumped you for a guy?
She did.
She dumped the horses for a guy.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, okay. Well, you know, after 20 years of doing this 24/7,
I guess
and
that's
doing an excellent job.
You know what? I think we've run into her. Well, you know what? We've run into her. She's been here before.
Oh, Linda's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's been here. Yeah. That's why, you know, yeah. I was kind of like, okay, I was tossing.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay, well, this sounds like a great thing. Okay, this is Safe Haven Horse Rescue. They'll take in horses. They will adopt horses out, and they're having a big fun day here. Is it, when's it going to be?
It's Saturday.
This Saturday. And it's going to be just everything you could possibly want. Six Gymkhana events, four divisions, lead lines, two levels of costume classes, beginner walk, trot, intermediate slow lope, advanced full run over 35, all levels, High Point Trophy, you know, ribbons first through seventh, the Bobby Jones Arena in Cottonwood. Yeah, it's a great place down there. You know what this sounds like? And it's Saturday, October 10th. It's a benefit for the horses at Safe Haven Horse Rescue. And this, are you all one of the few places around here, right, that are horses?
There's actually three majors in the area. But I'm talking about Northern California area.
Right.
We are one of them, yes.
That's great. You know what? Jerry Kohler is here. And this is the annual, and it's got all types of things going on, and they're going to be selling tack, too.
We are going to be selling tack, and that's a really
big
important
thing. You can pick up some,
a huge,
yeah,
thing. Some really good buys out there. Also, go on our website, and you can see all about us. We update it every day, practically every day.
Okay, now, your website is
SafeHavenHorseRescue.
Okay. .com. All right. And if there's any questions, who do they talk to?
They can call the phone number. That's
347-4941.
Yes. And okay. They can talk to Corey.
All right.
Or they can leave a message, and I'll call them back myself. And, yes.
Super.
Like I said, we're all volunteers. And if you know, anybody has an extra dollar in their pocket and they want to donate, have at it.
And if you're looking for a horse, this is probably going to be a good place to come out to.
It's an excellent
Because
place.
They're not going to sell you a horse that's got anything wrong with it, because they don't need to. You don't need to sell somebody a horse that's got something wrong with it.
And even if you don't want one of our horses, you know, at least you can learn about what you need to be looking for.
You can get a class on what to look. Yeah, because I tell you, there was unscrupulous people out there that will sell you a horse.
They'll
sell you a blind horse, and you won't know it.
You won't know it.
Until you get it home.
Exactly.
Or it is so drugged up that it is a beautiful horse that you ride around that ring, and you get it home that next day, and you can't get it out of the barn.
Yep, exactly.
And so you've got to watch it. And this is a good place to go to.
Good place to go.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you for your time.
You bet. Okay. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Space Available. When Whitney, a Tri-Counties Bank teller, noticed property owner Roberta Savelli depositing rent checks, a little bell went off. She thought Roberta might want to learn about the commercial lending programs available at Tri-Counties Bank. So she walked Roberta over and introduced her to Ken Rory, a Tri-Counties Bank business relationship manager. After a thorough review, Ken and his astute loan team discovered better financing options for her rental properties and saved Roberta a bundle in loan payments, increasing her cash flow and allowing her to acquire more properties. Signs point to a thriving future. Commercial real estate financing. Cash management services. Space to grow. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank. Service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 458732.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment today. It's 10 minutes till 8. It's 61 degrees, going up to 87 today. Thank you to Shasta Gas Propane for the weather report. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Hey, John Bastiani and his guys and girls down at Bastiani Arms thrived in a horrible recession that they started in, thrived because of customer service, pride themselves on giving the customer what they want, short, long, shotguns, pistols, you name it, they've got it, and they sell it at fair prices, ammo of all kinds. You know, you talk about hunting ammo, he's got it all. Hard to get ammo is down there at Bastiani Arms, has been for the last 6 years, and two gunsmiths that are just outstanding, and they have classes. Seth Stokes down there teaches concealed carry, teaches hunter safety. They have it all at Bastiani Arms. 222-8222, located at 2539 Larkspur in Reading. Good, good people. Buy local, stay local, and they give veterans discounts. I'm sitting here with the O'Leary family. Well, it's just one of them. Kelly O'Leary. Top of the morning to you, Loss.
Oh, good morning, Carl. Good to see you today.
Shasta Gym and Mineral Society. The only time you come by to see me. You know, you don't come by, bring me a cup of coffee. You don't even advertise with us on this. We just come here and just give this to you. What a great little thing you've got going here. But you need to come in afterwards and say hi.
Oh, I should. I should bring you. Actually, I will bring you some minerals. And,
bring me some minerals. I need minerals.
Yes.
Yeah, bring me gold. Bring me gold.
Gold, yes. Gold is our theme this year. And we also have the Shasta Miners and Prospectors out front in the gazebo who will be demonstrating gold panning for everyone to see and everyone to partake in.
You know, it's one of the things, in 6 years we have not had them on. Bob, this is something we need to have on, is somebody that really goes out after gold. Because when gold was really up high, and, I mean, we've got people here and around here that make... They make a living,
yes,
off of gold, because everybody thinks, oh, this gold has been panned out of those hills. And I saw an article the other day that says, no. There is more gold still in California than there was ever taken out of California.
And in spite of the government's efforts to make it stop.
Sure. But this has got really nothing to do with that. This is the Gem, Mineral, and Jewelry Show, October 10th and 11th, from Saturday and Sunday, from 9 to 5 on Saturday and 10 to 4 on Sunday at the Shasta District Fairgrounds.
Yes, and remember, it's a free event. We really want the families to come out. Everybody to just come out, have a good time. We have demonstrators out front now, out in the lawn area in front of the gazebo, and we have new people
this year.
They're
demonstrating against the gym show? They're showing the gym show.
Yes. We have somebody who's going to be showing how to make arrowheads. The Flint Napper is going to be here. We have people doing seed beading. We have people cutting and polishing stones. We have all sorts of demonstrations out front, along with the Shasta Miners. And then inside, we'll have fabulous displays. We have some displays of things that people will never see. These are stones, minerals, gems from all over the world. So the only place you're going to see them is a place like the Shasta Gem and Mineral Show. So Saturday and Sunday at the fairgrounds, it's free. We have what I'm calling this year is the Kids Arena. not just a kids area, but it's a kids arena. We have a mini circus going on in there. It's really soapstone carving.
Wait a minute. A mini circus. A mini circus tells me you've got things like, you know, miniature elephants or something. No, this is just, it's not.
Well, there will be
circus.
Some carved ones. Carved there will be ones, some okay. carved elephants. All yes. Right. So we have a great show. We have dealers that are selling things pretty much at wholesale prices compared to what you will see in the usual stores. So we put on a great show. It's great fun. The public is invited to come. We have going to have Subarama down there this time, which is going to be nice. But we have jewelry, we have beads, we have minerals, fossils, all kinds of, we have raffle, we have a silent auction. People stand around at that silent auction and
pretty soon at the end it starts becoming elbows and headbutting. People get me. I've been pushed around by little old ladies.
Well, come on down. We'll see if we can push you around too, Carl. Yeah. It's great fun, though. People really have a good time. And we're going to have some special things on the silent auction this year. We're going to have actual little containers of gemstones, aquamarines, garnets, sapphires, citrine, amethyst.
Okay, what is that thing when you cut it open? It's all, you know, it's got all those beautiful
geodes.
Okay,
yes,
how are geodes made? Is that from, like...
Well, they used to call them thunder eggs because they're a volcanic
process. Yeah, I understand. So it is a volcanic process.
Yeah.
So what is this? What's the inside of it, though? I mean, they're beautiful in different
colors.
Well,
a lot of them are agatized inside.
Right.
They can be
solid. Is it because of the pressure and the heat that causes this, right?
Pretty much everything in our mineral world is because of time, pressure, heat, and minerals. So the different minerals give the things a different color. So, you know, if you have amethyst or if you have rhodonite, rhodochrosite, all those things are colored by a different mineral. So your quartz family, you have the clear quartz, and then you have amethyst and you have citrine. Those are all quartz. They're all part of the quartz family, but they're colored.
What's the most valuable metal on Earth?
Metal?
Yeah, or... I mean, it used to be like gold.
Well,
gold and silver
you know,
was the most.
Platinum.
But platinum.
You know, platinum is pretty high up there.
But isn't there other things that are just, I mean,
they're
like really, like, they're hard to get, but they're, I mean.
There's some essential rare earths, rhodium and a few other elements are high in demand and hard to find.
Yeah. Very, very hard to find. Yeah, you won't find that around here. But we have fun. You know, our club goes out on field trips.
Do you ever find gold?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do.
Uh-huh. I remember a couple of years
join the
ago.
Club. It's only $15 a year to join the Shasta Gem and Mineral Society. Be a part of it. We have a workshop. We can teach you how to cut and polish stones your own. Go on the field trips with us and pick up your own. Make your own jewelry, silversmithing classes. We do it all.
Silversmithing classes.
Yes. We do classes ourselves, and we also do classes through the City of Reading Parks and Recreation Department.
A couple of years ago, I went to this thing, and they had a display from the 16-to-1 mine.
Yes.
And among the displays was this gold-laced quartz rock. It had to weigh like 30 pounds, and you could get your picture taken with it. But it was much more value, of course, without the gold being taken out. But this thing, you're holding like 3-4 pounds of gold in your hand. It was awesome. You know?
Yeah, that one was called the Whopper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was called. I had my picture taken with it, and Mike Kruger from... Channel, you know, our TV station 7 was down there.
And there were like really big guys between the nugget and the door.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
This is, I think we're going to have a show, a couple segments on people that are out gold mining. And because they've got a couple places here that sell the equipment.
Well, yeah, Miner's Cache is just down the street.
Down there off of
the Shasta Miner's Society.
Yeah, that Riverfront Playhouse too. Yeah, you know, I'll
that's the Miner's Cache.
Where can I put that in my list of things to do? I do know people. I've even known people that have gone out and they can make $1,000 a month doing this,
or more.
An ounce of gold is a lot.
Yeah.
If you got to find the right spot and you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, and you have to always be sure that you're in a permitted area or that you have permission to be wherever you are. So that is something that's very very important. When we go on field trips, we always either it's on public lands or we get permission from the property owner always.
Okay, this is going to be this Saturday and Sunday at Shasta District Fairgrounds, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4, free door prizes, free admission, free parking, and free door prizes?
Yes, free door prizes.
Kids arena, gold panning demos, raffles, jewelry, all of this. So, and this will be the Shasta Gem and Mineral Society, Inc., 61st annual. Thanks to Kelly O'Leary.
Thank you, Carl, for having me.
You can't be any more Irish than that, can you? Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Special Joe's, with great coffee, great coffee beans and everything. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in the state. All this at Tobacco and Brew, and veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 8 o'clock.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. The battle to replace John Boehner's next Speaker of the House heating up on Capitol Hill this week.
California's Kevin McCarthy is favored to win the nomination when GOP members meet behind closed doors this Thursday. Regardless of what happens at that meeting, McCarthy is likely to face tough competition from others when the full House votes at the end of the month.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton tells the Salem Radio Network he'll block three prominent administration nominations until the White House launches a criminal investigation of leaks by the Secret Service.
This is not simple misconduct. This is not just a security lapse of, say, letting someone with a gun near the president in an elevator or hiring prostitutes overseas. This is a constitutional affront to the people's elected representatives.
A government watchdog has reopened an investigation into reports that the Secret Service leaked private information about Congressman Jason Chaffetz in an attempt to discredit him while he was conducting a hearing into irregularities at the agency. California will become the fifth state to allow the terminally ill to legally end their lives with a doctor's help. Christian disability advocate and quadriplegic Johnny Erickson Tata believes that the new law may pressure some vulnerable people into giving up on their lives.
As a disability advocate, I am deeply dismayed. I think this spells bad news for people with disabilities. Californians with disabilities. It spells bad news for the elderly.
South Carolina authorities say another dam has failed in the Columbia area as historic flooding continues throughout the state. Martine Wilder of affiliate WGTK in Greenville, South Carolina, says the Greenville and Spartanburg areas are holding up for now.
We have localized flooding here and, of course, flooding on some of the major creeks we have and major rivers.
The state saw some major rains and flooding over the weekend, historic in some places. On Wall Street, it's been a struggle, but the Dow is up 7 points. More on these stories from Town Hall.
Your local pharmacist is also a HealthMart pharmacist. They're not like other pharmacists.
After Mom's surgery, I was overwhelmed, but I was so relieved. Her HealthMart pharmacist was there to help. They explained her medication and even delivered to her house. Mom got the personal service she needed, and I got something even better. Peace of mind.
Visit HealthMart.com to find a locally owned HealthMart pharmacy near you. HealthMart, caring for you and about you.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIBE or at visitingangels.com.
It would appear the 12-nation pact Pacific trade deal that caused some friction between President Obama and labor unions because they may not like the labor implications. We get more from White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
Several labor groups are worried that the trade pact will result in American jobs being sent to countries with lower wages and less stringent labor and environmental standards. The president argues that the U.S. can't let countries like China write the rules of the global economy, but he'll need to overcome doubts from a key Democratic Party constituency. Greg Clugston, The White House.
The government's latest trade figures show the U.S. trade deficit expanded sharply in August. The Commerce Department reports the deficit grew by more than 15% to $48.3 billion. A 2% drop in exports accounted for the widening deficit as imports were on the rise. Exports have been hurt this year by the rising value of the U.S. dollar, which makes U.S. goods less competitive in overseas markets. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. An American Airlines plane scheduled to fly from Phoenix to Boston landed safely after the pilot became gravely ill, so ill, in fact, he later died. Aviation expert Phil Derner told WSYR-TV in Syracuse, New York, that co-pilots are fully trained to take over the helm in cases like this one.
I think it's important to stress that safety was never in jeopardy here. Pilots are so very well trained that when things like this come up, they're ready to handle it with everything that they're taught.
The 147 passengers on the flight were told at first the pilot was sick and the plane was making an emergency landing in Syracuse yesterday morning. After the captain fell ill, the first officer took over. The Coast Guard says a 790-foot cargo ship sank last week during Hurricane Joaquin. Officials believe the vessel lost power during the storm and met its fate in the murky depths 15,000 feet below. More of these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 6th of October, 8:06 in the morning here, and our phone lines are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Bob, what's it look like for weather today?
Well, what you're seeing is what you're getting, plenty of sunshine, a high of 86 today, and we will have partly cloudy skies tonight, low right around the 60-degree mark. It will bump up towards 90 degrees tomorrow, but we are all done with those triple digits. Let's see here. We've got a possibility of rain as the weekend rolls around. Right now in Reading, it is 61 degrees. The report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Veteran-owned business gives veteran and senior discounts. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. And when it gets a little bit colder, we're going to say it's their customers are warm friends. Give them a call at 365-3793. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at View 202, a river. Have a view of the river. Linda will be singing at brunch this Sunday from 11 to 1. So come on down. It's just a great dinner on the first and last Sundays of this month. She sings from 6 to 8 p.m. And we got to watch the sunset and go from light to dark there on the river. And it's beautiful. I mean, simply beautiful. And this Sunday, though, she'll be singing at brunch from 11 to 1 with Bernie and Bruce. Give them a call at 226-8439 for reservations. Just say, come out and have a great time with us. We have an open table, too. It's kind of a European thing, but we've been asked about it. So we have an open table. If you come on down and you know, if you don't have a place to sit, just come and sit with us. If you're coming down there by yourself, come over and just sit with us and meet people. It's kind of a cool way to meet people there, too. All right. I'm sitting here with Rachel Hatch. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, people are going, Rachel Hatch. I know that name from someplace. It's because Rachel Hatch is the smartest person in town.
Hardly, but go on.
She is kind of one of the drivers behind the technology here in town. May I say that?
Well, I spend a lot of time tracking technology as part of my work at Institute for the Future. You know, so I live in Reading, but I work at this Silicon Valley think tank.
Well, tell me about Institute for the Future.
So we're a 47-year-old research organization. We try to look at the long-term future, which we define as about 10 years out. So right now we're trying to think systematically about the world of 2025, 2026, around there, if you can imagine that. And we track trends and disruptions.
It's tough for me to imagine a green banana, okay? So when you start talking 25, 26. Though I'm glad somebody around here is doing that.
Yeah, well, it's needed. I honestly, when I was growing up, I didn't know that to be a futurist was an option. You know, that's kind of an odd title even to imagine. So I fell into it just like many people do with good things in their lives, and I've been doing that for the past 7 years.
The things that you envisioned or saw 7 years ago that are happening now, did you see that? Some of the things are happening. I mean, is it just kind of a logical progression that you see that certain things happen? Are there leaps in there. Sometimes.
Yeah, there are definitely catalytic leaps. You know, you find that there's a big funding stream that starts to really get behind a certain, you know, disruptive technology, and that, you know, accelerates it, or there's a big breakthrough in
science.
A
disruptive technology. What is a disruptive technology?
So, you know, you think about how some technologies just change incrementally.
Oh, okay.
They just change
a little bit,
or, you know, you go from a VCR to a CD player where it's still sort of this visual medium that you're getting.
That you're pushing in.
Yeah. But then you might start to get at something that's a totally different step change. So imagine Google Glass. There are lots of critiques and feelings about Google Glass, but this is this, you know, visual overlay on the physical environment.
Uh-huh.
Where you have smart information that's fed to you. It's almost like having a smartphone in your glasses. And that starts to get to a very different mode of interacting with your environment.
So we have that in the military. We call them heads-up displays.
Yes.
In the aircraft.
A lot of the most important technological disruptions were DARPA-funded, so the defense.
Well, I worked for DARPA for a period of time. We didn't find, there were no aliens up on the fifth floor at DARPA. I know because I was on the fifth floor and I asked them. Seriously. I said, where do you keep the aliens? Because it's you know, X-File thing. And they go, oh, no, we moved them because of all the publicity. So, I love this. Disruptive technology. We've had people say that chaos is beneficial a lot of times because when things are chaotic, things get done.
They get
moved forward in a lot of times. Maybe in not the sense that you want, but because it leads to change.
I know what you mean. You know, there are moments where people who are building technologies are just throwing everything at the wall that they possibly can, and a lot of the stuff fails. But if it fails in an interesting way, then you can start to get the grounds for a breakthrough.
If you can learn from that, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so what's the name of your institute?
Institute for the Future.
Institute for the Future. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's kind of a cool name. And so you have seen then. So what have you seen something that was the big leap in this last 7 years, would you say?
One of the most fascinating things to me actually comes from the world of science. The short version is that, we used to study the human genome, our genetic composition.
Right.
Now we're studying, there's a lot of funding towards studying the human microbiome. And that basically means human, you know, your human DNA, but it also is all of the bacteria and other microbes that are on you at any point in time. And if you can believe this, scientists have found that humans are comprised of only 1 to 10% human genes, human cells, and the whole rest of it is bacterial. So that shifts everything about how we think about our, you know, way we manage our health. Right now, if you go to your kitchen, you may have like an antibacterial or an antimicrobial hand soap, for instance.
Yeah.
And the big shift is that actually our health is affected by all of those bacteria that are in our environment. So we have to get more nuanced about it. That's the biggest shift I've seen.
Okay, so that means doing things like, I think that was me making those noises. It is. So the people say you shouldn't use the antibacterial soap because it kills too many of the good bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow.
And some states, so Minnesota is the first state that's actually banning triclosan, which is one of these antibacterial ingredients. So you're going to start to see some changes in the environment.
This is scary, in a way.
Well, it's definitely a different way.
When you
way
say
of
something we're made up of, we're made up of microbes, like we're only like 1% of us is
1 to 10% human cells.
Human cells, and the rest
of
it.
Cell count.
My goodness.
It's mind blowing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's something like that. It's incredible. I'm here with Rachel Hatch. And Rachel, I hope you can stay the whole hour of this because we've got all these things we want to talk about. I'm going to take an early break here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Another veteran-owned business right here in town that been serving the North State for over 20 years. I mean the North State. Martin and his people can help anywhere up here in Northern California. Though they do kind of, you know, stay around Redding and the Anderson and Redbuff and all those areas too. But any type of make or model of heating or cooling systems, it's starting to cool down now, which means this is the time to give them a call. Come in, have them check your filters, have them check your air ducts, have them check the system, make sure it works. Maybe he's gotten your air conditioning system working, but now it's time to look at that old furnace. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. We're very proud to have them as sponsors on our show. I'm here with Rachel Hatch, and we're talking technology. We're talking about things that are happening right now that affect us in the future, and already we've learned that your body is made up of mostly of microbes and bacteria, or just microbes.
Bacteria.
Oh, yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like I thought, I don't know if that's healthy, but obviously we've been doing pretty good since we're all around. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 8:14 in the morning.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Reading's Electric Utility, REU, is celebrating 94 years and honoring Public Power Week October 4th through 10th. Reading is one of more than 2,000 communities that own, operate, and govern their electric utility. Public Power provides reliable, cost-competitive electricity to more than 48 million Americans. Did you know REU's low rates save Reading approximately $30 million annually? That money stays right here in our community. Celebrate REU and Public Power Week. Visit reupower.com. REU and you, powerful together.
Joan Armatrading is coming to Reading for a very special solo evening performance at the Cascade Theater. This diva, known for her passionate guitar and soulful vocals, is on her last large-scale tour, and she's doing it solo. An intimate evening with a powerhouse. Joan Armatrading at the Cascade, October 22nd. Get tickets now at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
But first, let me take a selfie.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindbott. Linda's on assignment this morning. It's 8:18 in the morning, and this portion of the show.
I love how technology has inserted words, like Google is a verb, right? Technology has inserted words into our lexicon, and selfie, of course. 10 years ago, it would have been a what?
Well, you know, I'm going to talk about selfie in a minute here. And, you know, head on down to, I want you everybody to head down to the Classic Cafe on Athens Avenue. Millie and Kathy down there. Breakfast, lunch. It's like a mini, like a little mini museum there for that. Not only that, when you walk in, you get a hug from Millie or Kathy. Great breakfast, great lunches. they've got all the photos on the walls with a lot of veterans, a lot of things around there. They do a lot for our community and give a lot of themselves. That's Classy Cafe off of Athens Avenue. 8:19 in the morning, and we're here with Rachel Hatch, and we're talking technology. And we were talking about things that the military does, you know, during the break, you mm-hmm. know, to reach out and do some things. But you've got a number of things here that I have already misplaced that we're working on here. And but you're from it's the Institute for the Future. For the Future. Mm-hmm. And Institute for the Future and you're working here, and it's based out of?
Out of Palo Alto, heart of Silicon Valley.
Well, one of the things you're working on that is called the Beam.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like almost is what you're doing now. Is that right?
Yeah. So this is exactly the kind of thing that lets people like me and a bunch of others in our community live in an area like Reading, but work, you know, around the world. So what Beam basically is a telepresence technology. So picture like a robot. It almost has a base that's sort of like a Roomba, you know, that vacuuming thing that allows you to move around.
It rides around a room by itself.
Yeah. So you can control it remotely. And on the top, there's a screen that shows your face and, you know, puts your voice and your presence in some way into the room. And increasingly, we've been experimenting for years with tracking these kinds of technologies. And increasingly, mm-hmm. the tech quality is getting much better. And it's actually kind of the social interactions that are that have to catch up, because it feels quite odd if any of your listeners have experienced this, to have a robot basically like zoom into the room. You know, if Linda could zoom in right now on a Beam telepresence solution, and we see her face and we hear her voice, and she's the Linda we know, but it feels quite different still to have somebody who's in one of these kind of robot manifestations.
You mean it's like a object that comes in? Or, I mean, like a physical object.
Yes. So it's a physical object. You know, it's about maybe picture 5 feet tall. It has a screen that's a little bit, life-size.
Yeah. And their face is there.
Exactly.
Talking to you.
Yep.
That's strange.
It takes a little bit of getting used to. But what, you know, the thing that excites me about it for Reading is that a lot of people want to live here. It's so beautiful. There's a reason why, you know, all of us who live here. And increasingly, I can imagine people who do global business using telepresence solutions like the Beam to be able to live in a place as beautiful and affordable as this and still work.
Well, why would you need the object to be there as opposed to just a, you know, a hologram or something like that? I mean, this is a physical presence that walks in or glides in or something, right?
Yeah, it glides in, exactly.
It glides
in.
Yeah. So is this just kind of like a fun thing? What advantage does that give you?
If you think of the alternatives, you know, a lot of people use conference calls, so then you have audio only.
Right.
Or you use something like a video conferencing tool like Skype or Google Hangouts. And part of what's missing in that is a sense of actual presence in the room, because you know, somebody's trapped in a computer, and we have computers sitting around us all the time, and we don't really notice.
So they're not like a real entity there.
Yeah. So it adds a little bit of a kind of physical signal of that person's attention into the space.
Okay, so could you put like a little? Okay, so it comes in. Does it look like it's not? It doesn't really look like a person though, right? Or is it kind of
right? It looks so. I think I gave you one of those.
Oh, you
images.
Did. You
Let's
did give it to me. Oh, there it is.
What you see there, because
okay.
that'll give your listeners a sense. So picture, you know, it's standing maybe 5 feet tall, and it has a base that looks like a Roomba, and then a face that's mounted on top.
Okay, picture this. It's like a the bottom of your vacuum cleaner.
Two
posts that come up, you know, narrow posts, and on top of it is a like a screen. And what it does is it moves around, it comes into the room, and that's what it looks like. And it's really cool. You can talk to it, and then it will follow you around. Can the person actually have it kind of like move around? And so they make a presence. They can move around the room talking to you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So on Friday, for instance, I facilitated a meeting. It was a maybe 10-person meeting in Palo Alto from the Beam. I beamed into it. And so picture, you know, you have people who are you want to get their attention, or you want to make sure that they're involved in the conversation. You can actually kind of tootle around to be close to them in the mm-hmm. robot and to involve them in the conversation. So it's all early still, you know, it's experimental and these things keep getting the tech keeps getting better and better.
Okay. Wow, that's kind of cool. Now, have you seen this? Have you seen this before?
Yes. Okay. As it gets more and more expensive, and let's face it, a pain in the rear to move around to meet with people face to face for meetings in distant cities, this is going to become more common technologies, telepresence technologies. And we're probably eventually you're going to be interfacing with this thing through something like an Oculus Rift. I don't know what that is.
You're just showing off now.
Basically, a heads-up display that mounts on your face. It's essentially an adapted smartphone, and you clomp this thing. This is a technology we've been talking about for decades with virtual reality. And it's big in science fiction, but the technology, of course, is just now catching up. But we're getting there to where you're in a virtual environment with other people, and nobody had to leave their home office, but you could have a full meeting.
Wow. You know, I think that's it. I mean, but one of the things we need here, though, Rachel, to have something like this, isn't it like a big, huge pipe? For internet or for connectivity?
Yeah. Rural broadband infrastructure is a hard nut to crack.
We don't have that, do we? I understand that it's on the freeway here.
Right.
But to bring it into Reading itself is going to be like $5 million.
Well, more, and I think it's even more, I suspect much more complicated than that even. So there's
just
a group.
Just the money, huh?
There's a consortium of people who have been working really hard on that for years now. And it's people who are internet service providers, you know, who do the last mile of install into your house in Palo Cedro or wherever you are. And then also some people who are looking at the access to internet as a right. Some people think that that's as basic as access to water or any other public utility. And then there are others who say, you know, I've built a business around this, and I need to be very careful about who I give access to. So ultimately, it's regulated by the California Public Utilities Commission, and they sent one of their kind of representatives up here a couple years ago. So they have their eye on Reading, I think, but it's going to take a while to figure out the right approach.
Well, my sister lives in Chattanooga, and I've used this as an example, is that it's rated as one of the top five small towns to live in.
Yeah.
In the United States. And one of the things they have is this, the infrastructure and the internet for people to have businesses like you're talking about here. Among the other things, you know, I'm not going to get into the other parts they have, but if you look at it, they're on a river, and they've got smart people. We're on a river. We've got smart people. But we don't have that big pipe capability there.
Yeah.
So, and as close as we are to San Francisco, which is, you know, the tech place of the world, one of the tech places of the world, obviously, that it seems like if we had that capability that they could move a lot of their operations up here. And they're green operations.
Yeah, I think that is a barrier that we need to kind of spend some time and attention on in the next decade.
Decade.
You think it'll take? I think it's a long-term play.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, not if I win the lotto. I'll bring it in. And where would you drop it off at? I mean, it's got to be a major switching place, right?
You know, I don't know enough about the technicalities of it. I've been trying to learn about this myself, and there's a great book, if anybody's interested, called Tubes, A Journey to the Heart of the Internet.
Tubes.
And it's by this guy named Andrew Blum, who basically his internet stopped working at his house and his apartment or whatever. And he had a repairman come, and the repairman finally said, oh, there was a squirrel on your wires, you know, and that's the reason why your internet stopped working. And he was just shocked. You know, he's connected to global commerce and global conversations, and he feels like, can this really be flummoxed by a squirrel, you know, on the wire?
Flummoxed.
So it started him on this journey to try to understand the very physical infrastructure that supports this, you know, lifeblood that is the internet. And so he wrote this book, Tubes, and actually the person from the California Public Utilities Commission who came to Reading, she recommended that people read it. So it's worth considering.
Did the squirrel take him down, as it turned out?
It certainly set him on a, you know, multiple-year voyage across the world. So he did things like, you know, he went to, and I'm still learning about this myself, but the tubes that connect the internet from the U.S. to Europe. Uh-huh. And actually scuba divers who have to go underseas to repair these gigantic, cables.
We think a lot of this is through satellite. No, only a fraction is on a satellite. Most internet traffic is carried by undersea cables, fibers.
Well, because they had, I remember they were doing the first transatlantic cable there, you know, to be able to put telephones and telegraph and all that across there.
Right.
So it just goes, and I remember sitting in my office in 1985. And this guy coming in that was working down at one of the labs, and he hands me this piece of wire. He says, this is a internet cable. What is it? It's the covered with a metal to shield it. But what is that? You know, what is it that links us, Bob? Pay attention here. What is it that links us? What are those things? What are those words I'm looking for? You know, the wire that comes in.
Okay.
You run from ship to shore or something like that. Anyway, never mind. But what they did was he said, this is the future. And I went, oh, okay. And he was right. I mean, he'd been, you know, they'd been studying this and working
with
this.
Right.
And it was fiber. It
was optical fiber.
Fiber.
I was trying
covered,
to get
yeah,
where
I know,
you
I'm
were.
Sorry. Covered with metal so you could put it in the water so they could run. And he says, one of these fibers can handle 60 command posts. Running it from a ship to shore.
Yeah, an optical fiber can carry more data than a copper bundle
yeah.
half foot
well,
across.
That's what he was saying back then, and I was like, okay, pass the ammunition. All right, it's 8:30 in the morning here on the 6th of October. I have Rachel Hatch with me, and we're talking tech, and we're talking about the things that need to happen around here, the things that could happen, and some of the great things that she's working on too. And we talked about the beam. Which is really, really, I liked that. I mean, because you can have people walking around, and it's not really people, but it's almost like a person that can walk and interact with you, but it's on a screen that just moves around the room with you. That's cool. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are. Always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with three locations to serve you. Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family, helping family.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our community for a great summer season and invite everyone to come enjoy our newly expanded fall beer selection. Take and bake pizzas, daily deli specials under $5, and fresh made breakfast every day. Our family has been part of Shasta County since the 1930s, and we're proud to advertise our local business on local radio. Come shop with your friends and neighbors at Mighty Fine Foods at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, October 16th at 7:30 a.m. on Free Fire Radio, here on AM 1460 KCNR.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:34 in the morning on the 6th of October. 61 degrees out there. Phone lines here 605-4567. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue there. Take a step back in time. Great haircuts for great prices. Discounts for seniors and veterans. And best of all, it's Man's Last Stronghold. Man's Last Stronghold. And it's like the Cheers of barbershops. Go in there and find out what's going on around town and also get a great haircut. All this right there at Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue across from the subway. I'm here with Rachel Hatch. And we're talking the future, and we're talking about what's going on now in the city. And we could talk about internet all day long, she says.
Well, yeah. I think about the internet because, you know, at the beginning, the people who were developing it thought, you know, really the proper use of the internet as a technology was going to be for experts, you know, at Stanford to talk to experts at, you know, UC San Diego or whatever. Really, that's
they weren't
what they
thinking
the
cat videos.
Exactly. And now how have we evolved?
Okay, here I am sitting here with my iPhone, and I tell the story all the time, is that I'm sitting here with my iPhone. I've got the knowledge of the world at my fingertips. I mean, literally at my fingertips. And I can't take a good selfie. And how many So, I mean, it's...
Do we need to practice?
Well, we need to practice, but even now on my phone, it just, you know, I push a button, it says, take selfie. So I push that button, and it's wrong. It doesn't take a good selfie. It just sits there. It's kind of like one of those, it's kind of one of those, you know, people say, yeah, just sit back there in that RV and just drive down the road, and they, you know, have a cup of coffee or something, and the woman did that, or the guy did that. And, of course, it crashed, and they said, well, you said we could get up and get a cup of coffee, not the driver. Okay, one of the other things you're working on, and that I'm trying to find in my notes, and I just found it again. Effective technologies, also known as emotion sensing technologies.
Oh.
They are increasingly in our homes, Xbox game stations for any people that with kids, on our bodies. The new Apple Watch tracks heart rate, and via the many cameras that are in our environments. Is this something that we should worry about?
I think it's something to be hopeful about and to worry about both.
Effective technology.
You know, it's
okay.
Like any technology, it's all in how humans choose to appropriate it, how we choose to use it. So, you know, some of the really hopeful examples are actually, some of these came out of working with veterans with PTSD or working with kids who have autism, where there's, you know, therapists who are working with people who really need a kind of emotional feedback loop with the people that they're serving, whether they're a veteran or whoever. And so some of these emotion sensing technologies give therapists or caregivers a sense of what's going on in someone's internal emotional landscape in a way that can really help them in the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take the kids with autism example. Part of their problem is that they have this emotional buildup that's pretty imperceptible from outside until it really explodes. And so some of the companies, Affectiva being one of them, which spun off from MIT, they basically worked with kids to be able to see a visual display of someone's emotions as they're ramping up so that a therapist or whoever is working with them can intervene before it gets to that point. So there's some really hopeful examples. It's also a little bit concerning because as these technologies, these affective or emotion sensing technologies, get embedded into our homes and our wearable devices and all of that, there's a lot of surveillance potential that could come from that. You know, people, regular people surveying each other, governments surveying. So there's reason for concern as well. I think it's an important area to think critically about.
Well, now in London, you can't go anywhere in London without a camera on you. And and now, you know, this is one of the things people are fighting about when they start talking drones, is now people can buy their own drones and they can fly around. So companies can buy their own drones and fly around and provide. I mean, right now we can show a photo of my house from an overhead satellite.
Yep.
Are we getting to the point where people can just can fly their drones around and do up-to-dates of people's houses? And at what point is your privacy?
Yeah, that's a
are
real...
Are there any rules about that, that a guy can't...
Laws are not keeping up with technology.
Yeah, I mean,
Right. I think that Gaines actually just put forward, I think it was Gaines, in the legislature, a provision...
Around fires, though.
Around... Well, there was something around not using drones over schools. That was actually the specific thing in question. So I think some, you know, legislators are talking about it. But right now, as you mentioned, individual people can fly their own drones. The insurance industry is using it a lot in recovery and disaster assessment. So right after, you know, an earthquake or a catastrophic fire, they can assess damage on a house without having to send an agent out. So it's good. I mean, there's a lot of efficiencies in doing it, but we need to be quite careful about how we do it.
Well, I think so. Well, and this technology here, and the effective technology, that an emotion sensing technology. When you say I don't have an Xbox, so how is that an emotion sensing technology?
Okay, so the thing that they have that they really focus on is facial recognition and kind of, you know, a lot of the games that are on these gaming
Kinect
devices
technology.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Kinect, Microsoft Kinect is another. Yeah, so that they basically. When you play the game, it's a physical game. So I think it's an improvement, actually, in video games. You're not just sitting on the couch, you know, moving your
thumbs.
Well,
they've got that one where you can do, like, you're playing tennis. And
exactly.
Is that the Wii or Wii?
The Wii.
The Wii.
Yeah.
And
so
you
a
can
lot
do
of,
those things.
And,
yeah.
and the, this isn't the case in the Wii, but many other gaming consoles, they rely on sensors that perceive your body in the environment. And that's how they can calibrate for, you know, how you're improving in the game. But what they can also do is track your facial expressions. So they have facial recognition technology built into
them.
Well,
this facial recognition technology, we were working on this decades ago. Mm-hmm. And now, from what I understand, somebody sent me a photo the other day of 60,000 people. And the technology is so good that you can take it down to a person's face. And then with the facial recognition technology, you can identify who that person is out of a crowd of 60,000 in a very short period of time.
Yep.
I understand how they're searching for terrorists and all this, but it also means is that they can track everybody, too.
They can track people, and you can also advertise to people in a really fine-tuned way by using this. So one of the companies that is Affectiva, and they basically, one of their targets is they look at Super Bowl ads, and they ask people to sit in front of webcams watching a Super Bowl ad and track their facial expression. You know, where are they surprised? Where are they disgusted? Where are they exhilarated? And that allows the advertisers to be able to get a composite view, kind of a preview of how people will react to it emotionally before they actually air it.
Having seen a few really awful Super Bowl ads that I wish I'd never seen air, I think that's not a bad thing.
Well, and some really great ones. You know, some of us love the best Super Bowl ads.
Yeah.
So there's good and bad things about this. But, you know, think of the way that they say it is that they've built the largest emotion data repository of over 2 million face videos. And then that allows them to derive, you know, insight that they can sell to advertisers, quite honestly.
Okay, so then you get this. You have your presidential debates.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Now you have something that's looking at their face and will say, you know, he's lying. Or she's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do that?
With
the technology?
Well, picture, you know, right now how many people have Apple Watches. The latest Apple Watch tracks your heart rate, which doesn't tell you what emotion you're experiencing, if you're extremely angry or if you're extremely exhilarated. But it does tell you that what they call the emotional valence, like the amplitude of the emotion, when you can see someone's heart rate. So, you know, who owns the information about your heart rate that's being tracked on your Apple Watch? You at least have access to it. It's one of the features of your device.
But
who else has access to it is the question.
Sleep Number Bed has a sleep IQ technology.
Hmm.
There's sensors in the bed that as you move, it tracks. And if you're uneasy during the night or something like this, it all goes to a spot someplace in Texas, who then comes back with ideas on how to sleep better. You know, stop, go to bed earlier or stop looking at your iPad or, you know, change the firmness of your bed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it all goes back to someplace there. That's tracking your sleeping.
Right. Same with the Fitbit. If you track your sleeping quality wearing a Fitbit, So, as we have more and more of these wearables, that's going to be more of a concern. There's one last example I have to share with you because I know you will have seen the precursors of this in the military.
Yeah.
There's now this thing that looks about 1 inch by 1 inch, and they call it the narrative clip. It's a video and photo taking device that you pin to your shirt pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite nice design, so mm-hmm. it looks almost like a brooch if you're a woman right. who's wearing it, for instance. And it has the capability of taking pictures quite subtly without anyone necessarily knowing it. And the original use case for it, and their big value proposition, is for parents of kids who want to take a picture, once a day for, 5 years, so they can then make one of those amazing graduation videos right. in the end that shows the person aging over time. So that's the upside, is to be able to create a narrative of someone's life. But it's also quite concerning because I may be sitting across from you and not notice or know that you're wearing it.
And then I'm now videotaping you.
Right.
That's right. Or I can have a pen that does it. Or, like when we came up with this technology, here's this pen, this little wand that you can scan, and it scans everything on a piece of paper and stores it in a little chip. I can't even begin to tell you what the problems we have with that one when you're talking top secret information. Because now you've got somebody that can have access to top secret compartmented information. And I'm not just talking about putting it on our server. I'm just talking about having it, in front of you. And they can take out this little device. It's about the size of a pen and just go back and forth on it. And you have now copied everything and you put it in something that just looks like a pen that goes in your pocket.
It can be taken either further, Carl. Implantable technology is here.
Well, let's talk about that when we get back, because I've been reading about that with the military, with some ways of implanting things in their brains to help with traumatic brain injuries and other things on how to handle that. But let's talk a little bit about that. Plus, we want to talk about micro work. And the platforms they have to do with that. Rachel Hatch is with us here, research director of the IFTF, the Institute for the Future. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Trade School at the Shasta Builders Exchange in Reading is nationally recognized and provides a training and education that will prepare you for a career in the construction trade. According to the United States Department of Labor, electricians will be one of the top 20 fastest-growing occupations over the next decade. Trade School offers an electrical trainee program accredited by the National Center for Construction Education and Research. The program has been an industry leader for over 10 years and is authorized by the state of California. The electrical trainee program is now accepting applications. This program offers evening courses to allow you to work during the day in your field of study. This program provides hands-on training and graduates finish at the journeyman level. You're one of the few state-registered electrical trainees who are legal to work in Northern California. All enrollments are on a first-come, first-served basis. Classes are filling quickly. Don't wait. Enroll now. To learn more about the electrical training program at the Trade School at the Shasta Builders Exchange, call 222-1917 or email training@shastabe.com.
Electrical orientation and registration is October 29th. Call Shasta Builders Exchange today.
Have you put your name on your to love and to take care of list lately? At the House of Conscious Living Yoga, we offer you a space for a well-deserved time in. You will be welcomed by the warmth and kindness of a yoga community here to make you feel safe and cared for. The House of Conscious Living Yoga is a place for healing. Our yoga mat will help you rediscover your own power to design your life in every way. Need to strengthen your body, calm your mind, or lighten your heart? You have come to the right place. Non-competitive, medically knowledgeable and safe, therapeutic and caring are just some of the words used to describe the House of Conscious Living Yoga professional staff. New to the studio? Receive your first 5 classes for only $25. Visit our website, consciouslivingyoga.com, for all the information you'll need to get started on your path toward a healthier, happier, more vibrant life. consciouslivingyoga.com, 246-7256.
Reading's Electric Utility, REU, is celebrating 94 years and honoring Public Power Week October 4th through 10th. Reading is one of more than 2,000 communities that own, operate, and govern their electric utility. Public Power provides reliable, cost-competitive electricity to more than 48 million Americans. Did you know REU's low rates save Reading approximately $30 million annually? That money stays right here in our community. Celebrate REU and Public Power Week. Visit reupower.com. REU and you, powerful together.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Input. More input.
Okay, no problem.
I'm not sure what you were doing.
It's a clip from a very early movie about artificial intelligence called Short Circuit.
Oh, okay. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 at 8:48 in the morning, moving in at 9 o'clock here on October the 6th at 61 degrees and going up to 87 today. It's going to be just a beautiful day. Tomorrow it should be about the same. It's going to start warming up a little bit toward this weekend, maybe even a chance of rain. Weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans. They're in a veteran-owned business. I'm here with Rachel Hatch, who is Research Director for the Institute for the Future. And lives right here mm-hmm. in Reading because she can. And mm-hmm. she can do her work from here.
Exactly.
And then you have to travel down there, I'm sure, to the center every so often. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about different types of technologies, the Internet, and all these things that are here. Is there a lot of technologies going on right now in Reading, would you say?
You know, it's you've probably just seen the statistics that were which suggest a hopefulness around technology in Reading. I think one of the most interesting signs of hope for me is the Shasta Venture Hub that's just newly opened. You know, they have a mixture of a co-working model. They're basically incubating different startups, and they're being quite smart, I think, about how they select those startups to really make sure that they're catalytic and that they'll be there only for 12 to 18 months, and then they'll need to move on to a bigger space. So it's kind of a fun thing to watch.
Okay. Now, TEDx Reading presents TED Talks Under the Stars, and that's going to be Friday, October 16th.
Yeah. Yep.
What exactly is that going to be?
So TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design, and you may have heard of it. They have TED Talks, which are basically 18 minutes or less. They're recorded talks that you can access on the Internet, and the only criterion for them is that they have to be about an idea worth spreading. So it could be about science, technology, whatever the topic is. It could be about, a personal story. But it's 18 minutes or less, so it's kind of, get to the point and tell me the nugget of your idea in a short period of time.
Uh-huh.
The team from Catalyst Reading Young Professionals has been putting on different TEDx events here locally.
Right.
So, there's TEDx Reading, TEDx Tokyo, TEDx Detroit. And we have one coming up next Friday, which is going to be downtown. We really value having things worth going to downtown. We were inspired by the pop-up parklet that Shasta Living Streets and Enjoy and others did a couple weeks ago. And so we're doing this outdoors under the stars on the promenade. So kind of by Gorilla Bites, if you can picture that. It's a, bring a blanket or
we
a lawn chair.
We can hit it with a baseball from here. Let me put it that
quite
way.
Close. Right. Yeah, yep. So we're going to show a curated series of these pre-recorded talks. So world-class, thinkers on a big blow-up screen, kind of like what Enjoy does during their summer Enjoy Movies in the Park series.
Right.
So it'll be projected outdoors, and it starts at 7 p.m. next Friday, and it's free and open to the public. So far we have, 700 people who are coming. So
that's
it's going to be
people.
Quite fun. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So that's going to be a week from this Friday, and it's going to be out here at the Market Street Promenade. So you can mm-hmm. just sit down and bring your chair and watch TEDx Under the Stars.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything. Okay, now, going back to this, our last subject here about another project is tech platforms for so-called micro-work. And they take what is typically done as a single job and unbundle it so even complex tasks can be completed by an army of workers. So
yeah, so you may have heard of some of these platforms where basically whether you're a nuclear physicist and you're doing seriously technical stuff or you're doing something as routine as driving someone across town in your car.
Uber
is probably the most well-known example of that.
I'm not sure how they even got started. Was that in Europe, obviously, right?
I don't remember their origin story. They're global now.
They're global now, and you can get you can get free rides. Not free, you've got to pay somehow.
Yep, you pay for, and anyone can become a driver. They go through sort of, you know, their vetting process. But the thing that's really changing is, you know, traditionally you think of work as, I have a full-time job, I'm going to go work at this company for, you know, 30 years and then retire. What MicroWork does is it starts to shift the landscape. So it's almost like everyone can become a freelancer. And there are good things about that and bad things about it. You know, the good things are flexibility, and if you have a range of interests, you could do, you know, several different kinds of things in one day and get paid for all of them. The bad things is that those platforms don't always work for the workers who are in them. So if you're an Uber driver, you may not be able, you still may not be able to make ends meet. And so it's, there are some trade-offs there.
Well, they don't have to pay, they don't have to pay your insurance. They don't have to pay your, you know, you're a contractor, so there's no taxes that they're having to pay. They're using your intellectual abilities, and they're paying you for it, but you have to then pick up all the rest of it.
And they provide some insurance liability, you know, liability coverage with Uber, for instance, Airbnb. But some of the other platforms, you're right, you have, there's no kind of social safety net for those workers.
Yeah. So that if they're working there, this is, you know, they get paid for. And this could be any type of intellectual thing, too, right?
It can, And right now, actually, at the Institute, yesterday and today, at Institute for the Future, we've been convening a conversation called the Workable Futures Initiative. And it's basically, you know, how can, in a world of micro work, where jobs are shifting as they are, how can we make positive platforms that are going to work for the workers that are in them?
Okay.
So picture, you know, anybody's kids or grandkids are going to have a totally different working environment than what we've grown up with.
They teach coding in town here. And she,
Faye Hall
teaches coding in town. It's a 30-day class, from what I understand. And then she acts as your mentor, and you can walk out and get a really, really nice paying job.
Yeah,
from
she's
right there.
Terrific, too. Yep.
And so, I mean, coding. And then, you know, do they start coding when they're in kindergarten? And, you know, all these things. I mean, now kids, I mean, it's obviously the future is your books are going away. It's all going to be on Kindles or some kind of processor that they can carry with them. So they're not carrying 20 pounds of books. They're carrying a tablet of some kind. They're attached to it with their little wrist monitor, so we can, you know, see if they're healthy. So they're looking for those types of things in the military too, that you can wear things that, that can actually give senses on in your physical abilities. If you've been wounded, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
You can wear a sensor vest. They're also, as we talked about, they're looking at a chip that goes inside the brain. And I don't know if you've read about that one, but that helps with the traumatic brain injury and has those, you know, that, that can help bridge some of the gaps that are in, that are there, which is a little scary in that sense. And so then, and it's just the technology. Is there anybody, and I already know what the answer is here, but there's anybody kind of like overseeing this to say, whoa, this is like something we don't maybe want to get into, or we really need to take a look at this before we insert this into your child?
Bioethicists is a big field right now.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the critical question that this raises is, what does it mean when we become part machine, part human?
Right.
One of my favorite
Resistance
thinkers on this topic.
It is.
I think you're
cyborgs.
Right. One of my favorite writers on this topic is a guy named Michael Korost. And he had an implant in his head. It was actually a cochlear implant, so it related to hearing. But he wrote a book called How Becoming Part Computer Made Me More Human. And it's just reflecting on this question of what does it mean to be both human and machine? Because right now we're not far from it. So many people are using wearables, you know, and it's not that far of a stretch to get to implantables. So
we're moving towards
wearing wearables.
I'm not wearing one right now. I need to charge it. It goes back to batteries, as Bob was saying.
Well, you should be able to charge it off the electrical impulses in your body.
True. That's or right. Kinetic movement.
Kinetic movement. Yeah, why not that? I mean, that, you know, you can do it for watches. Why can't you do it for...
It's on the way.
It's coming. Yeah.
Okay, I'm surprised we just didn't put brushes on our thighs, and we could walk and we could, you know, do the brush and electrical impulses. No, never mind.
There's a big movement right now called biohacking, which is some pretty fringe stuff. Some of it's a little weird.
Well, one of the things you said is, who owns it? I mean, if it's on your body and it's your heart rate and it's your blood pressure and it's all these things, who owns that stuff? Which then leads us into, you know, where people are talking about the DNA. Is that if once your DNA is tested, now everybody's got access. Oh, no, of course they don't have access. Well, of course they will. because it's just a matter of time, then insurance companies will use the DNA to see if you've got propensity in your family for certain things. That's why they ask questions. They won't even have to ask the questions anymore. If you want insurance, we need a sample of your DNA.
Gattaca movie from 19
for that. Okay, Rachel, got like a minute left. What do you see future here in Reading?
In Reading.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there's a lot of innovation that's actually happening that's just flying under the radar screen. And some of the guests that you have on your show are people who are building that future.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we really need is more visibility into who's doing what. So I'd like to see something like, you know, how we run a government census to track our population. I'd like to see an innovator's census or an artist's census to start to give us a sense of, okay, who's doing what? Yeah.
And what kind of stuff? So
I think that's kind of the moment we're in. We need that.
Well, that's a good idea. Maybe that's something the EDC can do something over there, Mark LaSalle and his people.
They'd be well positioned.
Yeah, to be tracking.
They're doing
great
things.
Right. Okay. Rachel Hatch from the Institute for the Future. Yeah, that's really a cool name. You know what I mean? You know, Institute for the Future as opposed to Stuck in the Past.
Yeah.
Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. And it won't be the last time, I promise you.
Thank you.
Because you come in with some really great stuff that people, I think it's good that people know about that. All right. I wonder if I have a great day. It's going to be a beautiful day today. Tomorrow. A lot of stuff going on tomorrow, too. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. What's your year?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional. Treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. He says it was a tragic mistake. A top American commander in Afghanistan tells Congress about that deadly U.S. airstrike on an Afghan hospital.
A hospital was mistakenly struck. We would never intentionally target a protected medical facility.
General John Campbell says Afghan forces reported being under Taliban fire and asked for American help. 22 people were killed in what the group Doctors Without Borders calls a war crime. Campbell says an investigation is underway. The dawn of the new day illuminated the incredible amount of damage done by floodwaters in the Carolinas, with South Carolina especially hard hit. Teresa Sumter was forced from her home in Columbia.
Just stop praying. That's all I did. I just started praying. And they said, well, Lord, just take care of us. And he did. But it could have been worse.
Storm is blamed for at least 13 deaths, and Governor Nikki Haley warns communities downstream from flood-ravaged Columbia